Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Okay. I think most folks can hear me now. It's 11 a.m. and we're going to assemble to worship our great God and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are so glad that you are here this morning on this first Sunday in the month of May. And as is our custom, we always enjoy communion together on the first Sunday of the month, and we will do so this morning during the worship service. Prior to that, though, I want to offer a welcome. If you're here for the first time, or perhaps you've been here before at other times at Seminole Church and you haven't been back in a while, if you would fill out the tan insert inside of your bulletin with the information that it calls for, we'd be delighted to have a record of your visit with us today. And be sure to fill out any prayer requests on the reverse side, if you have any, and place the insert in the offertory plate at the time of the offering. And you'll notice inside of your bulletin we have a congregational meeting today that was called about a month ago, and we will be voting on the lease option contract, and I will save that for later. As I've been reminded, we are here to worship first, and then subsequently we'll have our meeting later, our congregational meeting, but that will be immediately after the worship service today. We'll take about a 5-minute recess, and then when we will start our meeting for communion members of Seminole Presbyterian Church. Also, there is a Vacation Bible School meeting this Thursday, May the 7th at 6 o'clock at the home of Donna Waugh. Please RSVP to one of the coordinators, Holly Edwards. Her phone number is there in the bulletin, as is her email address. We need to know how many folk we're going to have in terms of leading and guiding the Vacation Bible School, because if we don't have enough volunteers, we simply will not put it together. So ladies, especially, if you would like to be involved, if you have small children in our Vacation Bible School this year, please make all plans to attend this meeting, and be sure to let Holly know that you will be there. Also, the ladies' spring tea is coming up. That'll be next Saturday. I got a couple of late announcements here. It's always fun being pastor because you have this list of announcements, and then you get extra announcements as they come in, and that's one of the challenges of trying to remember every single thing. So if I forget something, see Marcia Craig after the service, and or Mary Ernest, and they will be able to fill you in on whatever I forgot to tell you. But you'll notice all the information is inside of the bulletin. This theme this year is planting seeds of kindness. I understand that our own Jamie Dalton, who is the wife of our new associate pastor, will be the speaker. She will be sharing her personal testimony and perhaps a few other things according to her desire at that point. But Jamie will be speaking, and that'll be a great, great event for you to get to know her better and her life. We're also in need of some additional men to help serve. I plan on volunteering for that Saturday to serve, so if you can help out, please volunteer by letting Marcia Craig or Mary Ernest know, or Pat Barden, excuse me. Pat Barden or Mary Ernest, and both their phone numbers are inside of the bulletin. Tickets will be on sale today, I understand, after the service. If you'd like to get a ticket for the ladies' spring tea, be sure to do that, and child care will be provided. So I believe I've covered all those announcements associated with the ladies' tea. Don't forget Christian or Children's Ministries during the summer. We always allow our Sunday school teachers to take a break. Please be in prayer for some to fill in that they might teach throughout the summer months. Also, camp news, if you are a high school or a middle school student, we have summer camps every year. The information is available for you, High School Elevate and also Camp Kalakwa for the middle school students. The fees and that sort of thing are listed down there at the bottom. And if you'll turn your page over, you'll notice a lot of pictures on the following page of our announcements in your bulletin. A lot of the students would like to work in order to earn some money to go toward scholarshiping their experience at camp. And if you would like to have a student come to your house, maybe do some housework or lawn cleanup and that sort of thing, and then pay them in order to subsidize their camp experience, that would be very much appreciated. And if you'd like to be involved in that, again, Danny Dalton's cell phone number and his email address are there in the bulletin if you'd like to make contact with him. They also have a number of pictures from the recent canoe trip, and if you would like other pictures, I saw a bunch of them the other day on Facebook. We have our own church Facebook site on the internet, so you can go there for Seminole Presbyterian Church and look it up, or you can go to our church website and see all the photographs that were taken of the canoe trip. I think I see Servi Fernandez there. declaring victory in one of these canoes. So some very, very interesting pictures of church members and friends of Seminole at that wonderful event, and we'll look forward to the third annual canoe trip next year. Also, the Carrillos will have game night on Saturday, May the 16th at 6 o'clock. It's always a lot of fun at their house. They're so gracious to open their home so that we can fellowship together and eat and play games. And so if you'd like to attend, you are certainly welcome. Be sure to call Tony or Donna and RSVP so that they'll know how many to prepare for. And I don't have any further announcements except to say again that we're here to seek the face of our God in public worship. That's what worship is all about, is giving God his due. And so we're here more as participants than spectators. So let's give our hearts and our minds, our will and our emotions to the worship of our great triune God. And let's do that as we begin by listening to the prelude as it is played for us.
Good morning. Call to worship this morning. You can find it printed in your bulletin. It comes from Psalm 78, verses 1 through 7. It's a psalm of Asaph. And I will read the light print if all of you would respond by reading the bold print. O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us.
We will not hide it from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power and the wonders He has done.
He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which He commanded our forefathers to teach their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commands. If you would stand with me, please, as we sing our opening hymn, number 710, God of Our Fathers.
Oh.
Pray with me, please. Father God, you truly are the God of the past, you are the God of the present, and you are the God of the future. We love remembering and recounting your awesome deeds of the past. We love being participants in the working out of your providence in the present, and with hope. We long for the remainder of eternity to be with you and to worship you. And for now, Father, this morning we have gathered here publicly to worship you, exalt you, love you, pray to you, and also to hear from you. Would you draw near to us? Would you find our worship pleasing in your sight? For we approach you through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We come to the reciting of the Apostles' Creed. So, Seminole, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 34 to 43. You can follow along in your bulletins if you like. And this passage takes place immediately after the Apostle Peter is compelled to cross that dividing line between Jew and Gentile as he preached the gospel to the centurion Cornelius and his family. And what's important for us to realize is that God is the one who dismantles any dividing wall that separates. God is the one who brings salvation to all of his elect, no matter how diverse their background, language, or ethnicity. Would you follow along as we read God's word? Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets test about him that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins through his name.
As we join our hearts in prayer this morning, two things I forgot to mention. One, one of the friends of our church, Karen Collins, who is church member Eva White's mother, was hospitalized with chest pains. And I understand that she's okay right now, but please keep her in your prayers. She and her husband, Jerry, the Collins, has come regularly to Seminole Church and are good friends of mine. Enjoy their company. So pray for Karen especially. And also, the Dalton's house sold this past week in answer to our prayers. We're thankful to God for that. I forgot to mention that in the announcements. But let's remember that and continue to pray for them as they look for a home this week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the unified testimony of sacred scripture as the gospel goes forward, as the grace of God abounds from the old covenant to the new, from the law to the law keeper and giver, Jesus Christ. Father, we rejoice this morning that we can gather and sing and worship in the spirit of truth and unity. Lord, we would ask that you would be with us in this time that we worship you. Father, I would praise you, ask that you would help us to be the kind of church that would bring honor and glory to your name. Bless us, Father, to that end. Bless the officers and the staff of this church. Bless the membership as we seek to fulfill your calling. Father, we pray for our world. We pray for our president, those that lead in Washington. We pray for the city of Tampa and for our witness in this city and beyond, that, Lord, you would bless that. Father, we do pray for Karen Collins. Lord, you would comfort her heart physically and spiritually, that, Lord, you would make her healthy and strong and encourage her this day. Bless her, Father, with healing. Lord, we also rejoice at your answer to our prayers as we've prayed for the sale of the Dalton's home. We ask now that everything would go smoothly so that, Lord, they could relocate here to Tampa very swiftly, and that, Father, you would continue to bless their lives, their family, and their ministry here at Seminole Church. Father, we pray for those who are recovering from surgery or currently struggle with illness, long-term medical issues. We continue to pray for John Irwin, that, Lord, you be with him. We also pray for Michaela Kohler, that, Lord, you would continue to heal properly her arm that was broken several months ago. Father, we also pray for test results. Lord, I pray for myself as they continue to come in. And I also pray for Mary Beckel, Lord, as she looks at test results on her skin, that, Father, you would bless her with good results this week and that your kindness would be upon her. Father, we pray for those who suffer from various forms of cancer. We continue to remember Martha Thompson and Sharon Ryan. We pray for Ken Kinsek and Charlie Barreto. We ask, Lord, that you would be with these folk in a very special way. Comfort them at whatever level their fight against cancer is at. Father, we also continue to pray for Darby White and Connie Trim and the loss of their spouses, respectively. Father, I pray, the loss of Darby's spouse, Connie, the loss of Connie's mother, Miss Elma Beckley. Father, give them comfort and grace in these days. And Father, we pray for those who continue to search for work, that your kindness would be upon them. We pray for our meeting this afternoon. We pray for the ladies' tea. We pray for the upcoming summer camps for our young people, that you'd bless them in their desire to walk with you. Father, we would pray that you would do all things according to your glorious will. And even be with us now, Lord, as we together, with all of our hopes and desires, with all of our fears and cares, cast all of our anxiety upon you, for you care for us. Be with us as we pray that model prayer that you taught us through the lips of Jesus, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Well, Jamie and I do praise God that our house, Lord willing, will close on June 1st. Our realtor told us that because of the type of loan that our buyer is getting, that it might possibly be delayed till perhaps mid-June. So we appreciate all of your prayers that this would all go forward smoothly. Our second reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 to 21. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am a good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? This is God's word. Thank you. Would you stand with me, please, as we sing our offertory hymn number 358, For All the Saints.
Thank you. Offertory verse today comes from James chapter 2, verses 14 and 17. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to him, "Go in peace, be warmed, be filled," without giving him the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Let us pray. Lord, once again we are here before you to give our offerings and tithes for your work in the city. Lord, I thank you once again for the many ways you've bestowed upon us your gifts, not just with material goods, but also the faithfulness of this congregation. Lord, I pray you continue to help us understand what it means to live by faith and not faith without works. I pray that you help us understand how to do that every day. And on the eve of the great decision we have today, Lord, I pray you help us understand how to focus on you and your Holy Spirit and to give to you what we need to give to you and allow you to do your work for this king, for your kingdom in this city. In Christ's name, amen.
Be seated. I love that hymn, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. That's one of my favorite, most favorite all-time hymns. And I get disturbed when people say, don't play that funeral dirge. That is no funeral dirge. That is a rich, moving hymn in my life and perhaps in yours as well. We all have our favorite hymns that seem to move us and touch us. The Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 11 through 21 this morning is the reading from the lectionary that I wanted to make a few comments on before we take the elements of the Lord's Supper. Again, we all have our favorite hymns. We have our favorite passages of Scripture. And John 10 happens to be one of mine as Jesus refers to himself with many beautiful metaphors, chiefly about being the good shepherd of the sheep. And that's what we'll focus on in verses 11 through 21. Would you pray with me before we look at Scripture this morning? Father, we ask that you would bless our time together now. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would be our master teacher as we, the corporate body of Christ, prepare to enjoy communion with you. Bless our time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Verses 1 through 10 of this passage are not printed in your bulletin, but if you have them in your Bible, you'll know that Jesus speaks of being the gate. That is, he is the one through whom all must enter in order to get to the Father. And as he speaks of himself as the gate for the sheep, he seems to make somewhat of a seamless transition to being the good shepherd. Verse 9, he says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He'll come in and out and enjoy pasture. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I come that they might have life and have it to the full, or have it abundantly. And then he moves immediately to verse 11. I am the good shepherd. I want you to notice just four characteristics about Jesus as our good shepherd this morning, briefly, before we take the Lord's Supper. Four characteristics that ought to remind us of his goodness to us as our Savior. And also, four characteristics for us to imitate, for us to live out for one another as we follow his example of being good shepherds. First of all, I want you to notice his selfless sacrifice and care for the sheep in verses 11 through 13. His selfless sacrifice and care for the sheep. He says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. But when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man who runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Of course, Jesus is referring to himself as the chief shepherd, as the leader of the flock. But he is fearless in his defense for the sheep. In contrast to the hired hand, the good shepherd doesn't run. He doesn't flinch when he sees the wolf coming. Why? Because of his genuine love and care for the sheep. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the great shepherd. He is the great bishop of our souls. He is our pastor. He is the pastor's pastor. And he loves and he cares for us. And he sacrifices himself. And like the Lord Jesus, we as followers are called to do the same. Sacrifice our lives for one another. Exercise courage on behalf of one another. Demonstrate authentic care and concern for each other. That is, speaking the truth in love and caring for one another, even when it hurts. I am thankful for this congregation, as I've seen for the past 5 years, selfless sacrifice and care for the sheep amongst one another. The love that we enjoy and share as a church is a beautiful thing. It's something that's very, very precious to me as a pastor. The second thing I want you to notice is not only the selfless sacrifice and care for the sheep, but also his intimate knowledge That is to say, his relationship with the sheep. Look at verses 14 and 15. He says it again. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Don't you love those words? I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Jesus knows his sheep. And that's simply a commentary on all the rest the Bible says about God's intimate knowledge of his children. Remember the beautiful words of Psalm 137? Before there was a day that came into being for me as a child of God, God was aware of it. Before there was a word on my tongue, he already knows it. And the Lord Jesus comes along in the New Testament and says, every hair of your head is numbered. That's pretty intimate. We talk about having a relationship with one another. When was the last time that you knew somebody who knew the number of hairs on your head? And that may be very, very important to us that are going bald, especially. But do you see the intimacy of the Lord Jesus? The beauty of Christianity is not that we practice some sort of rote religion, but we have a relationship with a God who knows us and loves us more than anyone else ever could. I was relating to a friend yesterday about growing up without a father and the fact that what seemed to be something that was a handicap turned out for my good. Because what I've always done is viewed the Lord Jesus as my Father, as something by default we're all called to do as Christians. But I think if you have a void, some of you know what I'm talking about, if you grew up without a parent, it's all the more so necessary for you to drink deeply of that relationship. Because Dad wasn't there. And therefore, when you look at God as your Heavenly Father, you begin to place him in so many spheres, in so many relationships that govern every other relationship that you have on this earth. He knows you. He loves you. I want to communicate that to you as a pastor and a friend. We need to know each other as the Lord Jesus knows us. And we need to seek to know him. You know, often pastors are asked questions about church growth, and we talk about that at church growth seminars. And I know most of the time we refer to three things. We talk about numerical growth. Is the church growing in numbers? We talk about financial growth. Is the budget getting bigger? We even talk about spiritual growth. And a lot of times there's a lot of ambiguity about that. But I rarely hear talk about relational growth. That is a growth in intimacy where we really know one another. Where our lives are more and our families are more than just names on a page. But that we pray for each other fervently and we are very much aware of everything that is going on in our lives. That's what the Apostle Paul meant when he said, when one part of the body suffers, all the parts suffer. When one part of the body rejoices, all the parts rejoice. The intimacy of the relationship of the Lord Jesus with his sheep is the intimacy that you and I can enjoy as we repent of our sins and turn to him by faith. But it's also the same intimacy and the same relationship that we are to practice with one another. And it's one of the most important signs of church growth there is, and yet it's so often left out that we should know each other because Jesus knows his sheep. The third characteristic, his acceptance of the variety of sheep, his sacrifice and care, his intimate knowledge and relationship with the sheep, his acceptance of the variety of sheep. Look at verse 16. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Of course, the Lord Jesus is referring to Gentiles. No conscientious Jew would have anything to do with a Gentile. They were considered dirty. They were considered dogs. It was incomprehensible for a conscientious Jew to have fellowship with a Gentile. But Jesus, you see, welcomes a variety of people. All shapes and sizes, all colors, all nationalities, all backgrounds. There is no sectarianism with Jesus. There is no racism with Jesus. He welcomes a variety of people groups. Now, it's important to note that Jesus is inclusive. We hear that term a lot of days about inclusive churches and inclusive pastors and inclusive ministries. But when you read the Bible, what the Bible means by that, and Jesus welcoming everyone, is that he is welcoming of sinners, but not sin. And in that sense, he includes everyone. Everyone is welcome to come to the Lord Jesus, but you must come on his terms, not your own. And that's why we hold each other accountable. That's why part of love and part of discipleship is not only encouraging each other and a pat on the back, but also holding each other accountable and saying that life or that practice or that sin is out of accord with Scripture. And we have to do it all the time with one another. In that sense, Jesus is inclusive. He says, everyone come, no matter what your background, no matter what your baggage, no matter what your sin is that you deal with, but you must come by faith. And that means repentance, trust in me, and subsequently obedience to my word. That's what the Bible means when it says Christianity is inclusive. It's never on our terms. It's always on Jesus' terms. He doesn't accept us as we are in the sense of wallowing in our own sin. He accepts us because of who he is, the Savior of sinners. And his desire is to cleanse us and make us fit for heaven. Initially by conversion and then all the way through life via sanctification. Jesus welcomes sinners. Well, he sacrificed for us in care, his intimate knowledge of us, his sheep, his acceptance of a variety of sheep, and then finally the inevitable division and pain associated with great shepherd of the sheep. Look at verses 17 through 21. The reason my Father loves me is because I lay down my life for the sheep to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. You see, Jesus begins to demonstrate his willing authority to lay down his life for the sheep. He is not coerced or forced. He does it willingly because of the love of the sheep and obedience to the Father. You begin to see the leadership of the Lord Jesus arising here. Because leadership often costs. But Jesus says, I willingly do this. I am not coerced. That's the beauty of true love. True love and sacrifice is when someone lays down their life unconditionally. They're not coerced. Nobody's twisting their arm. That is the Son of God's sacrifice for you and me. And Jesus wants it made plain that he willingly sacrifices himself, showing courage and risk in his leadership. He did that at the beginning of his ministry in the cleansing of the temple. The Lord Jesus, who caressed little children, entered the temple and cleansed it because it needed cleansing. There needed to be a fresh start, a new beginning. And the Lord Jesus provided that, but it brought controversy and division. And you see that in verses 19 through 21. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? The characteristics caused division amongst the Jews, and the division was deep and extreme. Some thought he was demon-possessed. Others made reference to the fact that he was indeed the Messiah. That's what the question really means. It's a rhetorical question. How can a demon-possessed man open the eyes of the blind? What he's really saying behind that is, this is the Messiah. Nobody opens the eyes of the blind but Messiah himself. Even imposter miracle workers don't open the eyes of the blind. This is the Messiah. But you see the division that is there. Just as the life of Jesus Christ is associated with peace and unity, it is inextricably bound and associated with decision and division. That's why it is a bloody religion. We come to this table this morning and we enjoy unity and peace as we fellowship together. But that was bought at a great price. Blood was shed because of our sin. And that's why when Jesus, who came and loved and showed unity and called people to himself, said in one place, "I did not come to bring peace but a sword. And you must love me more than father, mother, sister, brother, husband, wife. I must be supreme in your life." That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. As you recognize that there will be division, even in my own soul at times, my own family, my own life. Lord Jesus is the one who gives us the grace to follow him as the great shepherd, even in the midst of division and discord. There's peace. But we must cling to Jesus always. Whenever we take the supper, throughout the week and throughout life, by faith, we cling to the great shepherd, because ultimately, he's all that we have. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the beautiful characteristics in sacred scripture of the Lord Jesus. And Father, I pray this morning that you would apply all of these to our hearts by faith as we take the bread and the wine, as we look back and remember the sacrifice made for us at Calvary, so that we might have life and peace with God, as well as peace with our neighbor and our Christian friends. Father, bless our time at the table this morning. Make yourself real to every one of us. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and turn a hymn of preparation, number 246, Man of Sorrows, What a Name, as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper. Let's stand together as we sing.
Well, as you can see, the table is spread before us. And just as the sacrament of baptism represents our initiation into the covenant community. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper represents our continuing in that same covenant. And so, appropriately so, this can be seen as a covenant renewal ceremony. And so as we prepare to come to the table, not only do we remember the past, but we also celebrate the present, and we also, with great hope, anticipate the future. In the past, we remember how Jesus came and died on the cross on our behalf. We also celebrate our covenant responsibilities, also our covenant privileges of the present time. We celebrate the fact that when we come to this table and receive the elements by faith, we actually commune with our Savior Jesus. Our faith is strengthened. We are spiritually nourished and refreshed. And then finally, we also anticipate the future, that one day when we will sit down at that great banquet with Jesus as our host, and He will make everything right. And so, let me read for us the words of institution. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way, after the supper, He took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.'" And so this is a table that is for sinners who trust in Christ alone for their salvation. If you are a member of any evangelical church that preaches the gospel, we invite you to come to this table. However, if you have no faith in Christ, or perhaps if you are a believer who is unrepentant about sin in your life right now, I recommend that you refrain from coming to the table. For Scripture says, if you come to the table in an unworthy manner, you'll be eating and drinking judgment on yourself. So first of all, there's the need to repent of your sins, trust in Jesus alone, and then come to this table. Would you pray with me? Father God, we come to this table trusting in our Savior Jesus Christ, who offered Himself for us. Therefore, we ask that You would please pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us and upon this bread and cup, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. By Your Spirit, would You nourish us with Jesus, who is the bread of life? Would You unite us to Him? And as this bread and cup is Christ's body for us, would You send us out to be the body of Christ in the world? In Jesus' name, amen. On the night that our Lord Jesus was betrayed, He took the bread and He broke it and He gave it to His disciples, saying, "This is My body broken for you. Take and eat." And in the same manner, after the supper, He took the cup and He said, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink from it, all of you." We ask that You would come forward to receive the elements, and then we will all partake together. We hold in your hand, which is a sign that points to the body of Christ. And in his body, he lived a perfectly righteous life that fulfilled the law in every respect. And in Jesus, you too are made righteous. Take and eat. And you also hold in your hand the cup, which is a sign that signifies the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And in his body, he suffered the wrath of God against sin. And so in Jesus, your sins are forgiven. Take and drink. Would you pray with me? Father, your grace is unbelievable to us. We have grateful hearts. We thank you for our Savior, Jesus. We thank you that in him, we can have a right relationship with you. We can commune with you. And so we praise you for this supper. We thank you that we can come and eat together. Father, would you bless the remainder of our service? And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
That last night they sang a hymn before they went out, and we'll do the same with number 355, We Are God's People. We'll sing the first verse and the last verse only, verses 1 and 4 only of number 355. Let's stand together. Joining us for such a wonderful worship service today. Those of you who are communing members are invited and encouraged to stay for the congregational meeting immediately afterwards. Those of you that are visiting, I apologize that Danny and I cannot greet you at the door today. We're going to take about a 5-minute recess so we can go to the restroom and that sort of thing. And then when we come back, those of you who are communing members, if you would, assemble on this side of the auditorium as we did for our last congregational meeting so that we can all hear each other better and have a better meeting and be more efficient with our time. Receive now the benediction of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.